So good to see you all here this evening. Thank you very much for coming on a hot evening. We're going to do tonight slightly differently than we sometimes do. One of the great things about Encounter is the creativity of the team, encouraging us to explore different ways of encountering God. And so tonight I want to do two short little talks with some time for us to respond in prayer to some of the things I've been sharing afterwards. The little bit of paper underneath your seat is for after our second talk. So you're welcome to use it to write notes on, but then you need to put your hand up and get a second bit of paper, which we can do, or if you've not got a piece of paper by your seats, we'll get pens and paper to you afterwards, but that's what the pen and paper is for. And the two things I want to really press into, and this will be part of how I want to kind of shape the time tonight, is the Encounter team asked me to speak on the subject of prayer, and they said, because as they've been talking to people, one of the things that for both the students, young adults, and youth, and this I thought is a great issue because it's so massive really for all of us, is how do we pray for our friends, and how do we pray with our friends? How do we pray for our friends, and how do we pray with our friends? And one of the things that struck me about that is that, in some of the parables that Jesus told, it seems that one of the things he loves to do is hear our requests on behalf of others. It's like almost that when we ask things for ourselves, God's okay with that. But when we ask things for others, he kind of is particularly like, oh, look, that heart for others. And he wants to join us in that. And we see that in Jesus' own life. He prays loads for others. And actually, we don't often see him, even at some of the biggest crisis points in his life when there's like nails in his hands. He's not praying for his own healing. He's praying for others. And so many times he's prayed for God to save and help others. So if you've got that heart of, I want to know how I can pray for my friends and neighbors, or I want to know how I can pray with them, then I tell you what, it's a fantastic heart to have. And I also just recognize that often prayer is one of those things, and this would be my experience as well, where I would love to keep growing in prayer. Prayer is a huge joy. In fact, I would say seeing God answer prayer for a friend of mine is one of the big joys in my life, or a family member or something like that. When you pray for them, this morning I was praying that someone would be here who had spoken to during the week, and they said they were planning to come, and I was just praying, Lord, may they be here. And I look around in church. I don't always do this to look around and see who's here, but this Sunday I was kind of looking around as I was before, and I saw that they were there. They were upright there, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And it joy comes as we see some of the things we pray for our friends get answered. But I've found an even greater joy comes when I have the privilege of praying with my friends. When it's not just that I'm praying and I'm hoping, God, I hope you do something in their life, but when I have a moment, whether they are a Christian or not a Christian, and I say, hey, could we pray about that together? And they say, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I have moments, and this is such a huge joy, where I kind of suggest that to people, sometimes in a pub, sometimes over a meal, sometimes on the street. And this morning, probably again, one of my greatest joys was just someone at the door afterwards. And I said, hey, would you like to pray? And even, can I not just pray for you, but would you pray with me? And they prayed with me. And that can be a life-changing moment. Often it's a life-changing moment for people. And I found that often people who've been Christians for many years, and there's some of us here have maybe you've been a Christian for a couple of years, or 5, 10, maybe even some here way longer than that. And you've seen your friends go through crises, and you've kind of had them talk to you about it, and you've kind of maybe thought afterwards, I think maybe I could have prayed with them. And they might have said, I'd love to pray with you. And I would love tonight to help you see from God's word how you could maybe grow in confidence to suggest to not just pray for your friends, but to pray with them. Are you up for that? Okay, so Jesus gives us some great advice. And it's in the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to read. It's up on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. But this is very familiar. So I'm going to be referring back to this tonight, and I hope you are able to really get it into your hearts. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray, and this is the words he kind of gives us. They're not words that we have to stick to exactly, but they are words that help us see that you don't have to pray long prayers for them to be powerful prayers, and you don't have to pray kind of really grand things. You can just express things to God, and this is what he says. Jesus says, when you pray, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, as we also have forgiven our, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Familiar? Few nods. I imagine that we've kind of seen or heard this before. And one of the things that you may or may not realize is that in the context, Jesus gives this prayer particularly for us to pray on our own. He kind of encourages us to take this prayer and to, he says, look, when you pray, pray to your Father who sees what's done in secret. And this is a real encouragement for us about the praying with, not with, praying for our friends. So that actually, if you're thinking, I'd love to pray for my friends, but I don't know what to pray them, this is a great prayer to pray for your friends. You might have noticed that it doesn't just say, your sentence how you should pray, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread and forgive my debts as I forgive those who are in debt to me, and lead me not into temptation and deliver me from the evil one. It doesn't actually say me anywhere in the prayer. And yet it's a prayer that Jesus is encouraging us to pray in secret. So when Jesus has kind of given you and I pointers on how to pray in our own, maybe for not just ourselves, but for others, he gives us a template that involves things we can pray for others. And this is one of the hopeful things, is that actually realizing that the kind of things that often we want to pray for ourselves are actually the things we can pray for our friends. So if you're thinking, man, I need God's help on something, chances are your friend needs God's help in that area as well. And so Jesus leads us in a prayer that actually has this wonderful thing of praying for not just ourselves, but for others, even when we're praying on our own. But actually this prayer, even though Jesus taught it in that context, Jesus clearly prayed with his disciples at times as well. And he encouraged them to pray together. We see that the early church, as soon as Jesus went up to heaven, they gathered together in the same place to pray together. And through the book of Acts and all through church history, we know that as well as many people praying alone, that there were times when they gathered together to pray and worship God, a bit like we're doing tonight. And this prayer, very early on in the church's history, became a prayer that they used to pray together, as well as a prayer they prayed on their own. So again, if you were ever thinking, I would love to know how I could pray with my friend, and you're thinking, but I wouldn't know where to start, I don't know what to say, this is a great prayer. This is a prayer that you can actually pray with people. One of the things that I have to do, which is both a huge privilege but a huge challenge, but is part of this calling, is the leader of the team here and a pastor in this church, is to take people's funerals. People at those times, they want to pray. Sometimes they don't know how to pray or what to pray. They want to be led in prayer. Sometimes the hardest times are not just in the service here, but at the graveside. And this prayer, those words, as a prayer I most often use to pray with people at the graveside. It's simply because it's known, familiar, but sometimes in those moments you think, well, what do I pray? And Jesus actually gives us a template. So already we're seeing some wonderful things, but it's not a prayer that you have to pray verbatim. In fact, one of the things about this prayer is that though we think of it as a kind of, oh, it's the Lord's Prayer, it's the bit that, you know, people say, actually when Jesus said it, it sounded really kind of just real and kind of normal and like, wow, you're not referring to God in this sort of name that no one can dare to say. You're calling him Father, and this seems to be real kind of simple. It's not a long prayer. It's a kind of a simple, real, powerful prayer. And I've found that some of the most helpful things on prayer have been when people have encouraged me, just, hey, just be real with God. And I love this little video clip. I have shared it before in the past, so you may have known it. I find it helps me remember just some great things about prayer. It's a guy called Pete Gregg who's helped so many people over the years in prayer. But here is Pete just giving three top tips in a minute and a half on prayer. And I really want to press into one of them just as we continue to look at this passage together. So over to Noah and Ben as we just watch this little short video.
Three tips for prayer. Keep it simple. Keep it real. Keep it up. That's it. Just keep it simple. Don't think it too complicated. You know, Jesus told a parable explicitly saying that the snotty-nosed, weeping tax collector just saying, Lord, have mercy, was heard by God, and the Pharisee with all the flowery language wasn't. So keep it simple. Just be honest with God. That's the second one. Keep it real. Don't feel you have to pretend with God. About half to two-thirds of the book of Psalms is lament. It's not happy-clappy. It's God, why have you done this? And why isn't that working? And so we can afford to grieve and to even be angry at times in prayer. Tell God what you're really thinking, not what you think you ought to say. Keep it real. And the third thing is keep it up. Just persevere. Prayer is like stacking dominoes. And one day you pray the prayer you prayed 1,000 times before and the whole lot comes down and the breakthrough happens. Not because it was a special prayer. Just because you didn't give up one prayer too soon. And Jesus told a parable explicitly about that, saying you must keep praying and not give up. So keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up.
What were his three top tips on prayer? It's helpful, isn't it? There you go. Even if you just remember that, and someone asked you about prayer and you thought, oh, I could show them a little video. That is really helpful. But I want to press into the keep it real. Keep it real. There's two things in the Lord's Prayer that I think are just really helpful about us remembering to keep it real. And the first is just being real about who God is. I heard someone say once that at its heart, prayer is remembering that God is God. Actually, whenever we do that, we actually find ourselves praying. And this prayer is so wonderfully helpful about just being real about who God is. And Jesus starts the prayer just by helping us see that God is our Father. I don't know what your father was like. Sometimes, unfortunately, people don't have great models of fathers. My dad's not perfect. No one's dad is perfect, but I've been really blessed, and I was chatting with a few people today. My dad's visiting me at the moment, and one of the things about my dad is he's just for me and loves me. That doesn't mean he doesn't have to sometimes tell me things I don't want to hear, but I know he's for me and loves me. And one of the amazing things about God as our Father is he's for you and he loves you. And Jesus says, hey, look, this is how you should pray to God. He's for you and loves you. As the psalmist says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He's got compassion for you because we're his kids. And Jesus says, hey, look, let's be real about God. God is our Father. And when you pray, pray our Father. And then he says, pray our Father who art in heaven. That is not just some flowery language. That's basically our Father who is in heaven, who kind of sees things, not just from an earthly perspective, and this is a little planet, but who sees things from a kind of massive, all of time and all of space perspective. I used to carry around in my Bible when I was a student a photo. Now you can get kind of easily kind of photos of anything on, you just carry them around your phone. But it didn't used to be like that. You sometimes used to have to carry photos around. I used to carry around a photo of two galaxy clusters colliding. It was like must have been like a 1999 calendar about space. And this was like one of my favorite photos. So I cut it out and stuck it in front page of my Bible. And it wasn't exactly this photo, but it was very like this photo. That is a spiral galaxy. And that is another spiral galaxy, and they're colliding. And that picture is massive. You have to measure the distances in this picture in light years. Because you couldn't even spot a planet in this. The things you see, the lights, are all stars. And God is the God who's our Father, and yet he's in heaven. He's over it all. And actually, he's not just so great, but he's good. He's hallowed. Everything he does is good. There's no trace of darkness or evil in him. And so he's holy. And we cry out, hallowed just means praise his name. I know that sometimes people kind of missay the Lord's Prayer when they're young, and then they kind of think it's our Father who art in heaven, Harold be his name. It's not Harold. It's hallowed. It's special. It's kind of like there's something holy here, set apart. There's none like him. Our Father in heaven is a dad like no other. He's massive. And he's the king. He's got a kingdom. And so Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's a good kingdom. It's the kingdom that we all want to see, that although people are thinking, is it going to be better out of Brexit, out of Brexit? Is it going to be better with a Tory leadership or a Labour leadership? Is it going to be better with this prime minister or that prime minister? And you might have noticed there's no one place on earth which is like the perfect place to be. And actually, we keep seeming to change our rulers and authorities and, you know, systems of government because they're not perfect. But God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that is perfect. That where he rules, there is peace. And so be real about who God is. He's the king. He's our Father. He's good and great. And this start to the Lord's Prayer is not about us trying to use the right kind of language. You know, if you meet the Queen, you get told you have to address her as, hey, Mom, or something. No, it's not that, is it? You're mad. I don't know. I've never met the Queen. Lena, you might have met the Queen in your job. You haven't met the Queen. But you do have to kind of, you get taught how's the right. This is not that. This is actually about Jesus saying, hey, look, you need to be real about who God is when you come in prayer. That he's your Father. He's good. He's great. He's the King. And so John Stott, really, he's a commentator. He really helpfully just writes this. He says, he has this little phrase. He says that this few little verses combine the fatherly love with heavenly power. And what his love directs, his power is able to perform. And in telling us to address God as our Father in heaven, the concern of Jesus is not with protocol, i.e. teaching us the correct etiquette in approaching the deity, but with truth that we might come to him in the right frame of mind. And this then is where this last little bit of the first half of the Lord's Prayer comes in. Because when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, God, your way is better than my way. And I want your will. Even though I'm here bringing and praying and I'm going to bring my request, fundamentally I want to say, you're God and I'm not. Your will be done, not mine. And that is a great prayer, even for your friends. You might have all kinds of plans and thoughts about what could sort out their life. But I can guarantee you God's way is better than your way. And actually, as you come to him and simply kind of say, God, I want to bring my friend before you. I want to say, in their life, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done in their life? That is a great prayer. You might think, well, I don't kind of know what else to pray. Hey, that's okay. God knows. And that's what you're praying. And one of the amazing things in prayer is this great God doesn't need us to give him all the exact things he needs to do. He can hear and take that. And I've found sometimes just this being real with God and getting it right helps me massively in my praying for myself and for others. And I find sometimes just simply a couple of simple kind of gestures, if you like, help me in this. If I did this, in anywhere other than church, people would think I'm surrendering. It's the international sign for surrender. Hands up. You know? I think in Spanish it's manos arriba. I know you know that because in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, when they're robbing banks, they have to learn how to say hands up. Manos arriba. Hands up. And actually, when we come before the God who made everything and we're trying to say, Lord, I want to be real with you, Father. Your way is better than my way for me and for my friends. Just simply going, Lord, I surrender to you. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. That is a prayer. And I sometimes just simply just do that as a prayer. And I just say, God, your will be done. In fact, it's one of my prayer exercises that I learned from Helen. She learned it from somewhere else. Just simply go in the morning, just, Lord, I surrender to you. Can you do that? I don't know how you find prayer, but can I just see if you can raise your hands? Should we go for it? There you go. It's not impossible, is it? I know sometimes it kind of freaks people out, but when it's on your own, it's even easier. And we're talking here about particularly praying on your own for your friends. So just sometimes going, Lord, your will be done for my friend. And I find sometimes just even as I do that, to maybe remember some people. And I'd encourage you tonight, I'm going to give you a moment just now while the band worshiping to come and just particularly pray for three friends. Lord, would your kingdom come for those three friends? Probably not people in this room. Lord, just your kingdom come in their life. And then I also sometimes find that one of the things that helps me surrender is, and we'll kind of worship God, hallowed be your name, is simply kneeling. Now, at different points in life, kneeling becomes harder. I was chatting to a few people, and the waves have been pretty rough this week, and I got turned around in the waves this week and completely grazed my knees on the rocks, and so slightly harder, but it still sometimes does me good because just kneeling is a way of saying, God, you're God, and I'm not. I actually, some people do kneel and bow before the king, queen, but probably even nowadays it's a bit odd if you kneel before the queen. But outside of prayer, I don't know a lot of people who really kneel for anything, but simply kneeling I find sometimes is like praying. I kind of don't know sometimes what to pray, but Lord, I kneel. I say, God, I need you. I worship you. And in this time, you might find that actually just simply praying for your friends or for your things in your life, just partly just raising your hand and kind of right-sizing God, or you might want to kneel, and you might just not find it easy to do either of those things, and that's fine, but when you go back home, I encourage you, if you're able to kneel, try kneeling in prayer. Just by your bed. You know, it might be in a bit of the house where no one often goes, and you sometimes just think, do you know what, I'm just going to kneel. And yeah, just allow simple, short, powerful prayers that get real about who God is. So I would love to invite the band up, and I just got up on the screen here the first part of the Lord's Prayer that we're looking at. And I would love you in your own heart, you don't have to use these exact words, but I would love you to pray this for yourself and for three of your friends. I would just love you to pray, just our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, in my life, in my friend's life, as it is in heaven. And so we're going to have time now to worship and to pray. You're free to kneel, you're free to stand, you're free to sing along with the band when you want to, but you're free just to be still and just be praying. You're free to raise your hands. But this is a time to pray, time to surrender, time to worship, to right-size God, and to pray for our friends. So can I just pray for us as the band just lead us? Lord, I pray, just come, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us just to be real about who you are. You're a great, amazing God. You're our Father. Lord, help us just to surrender to you, your will for us and for our friends. Help us pray. Lord, use this prayer time now. Lord, may some of our friends really experience a breakthrough because of us just bringing them before your throne of grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just pray for those people that we've been bringing to you. Let heaven come in their lives, Lord, please. Amen. I'm just going to invite David back up. Let's do the next bit of this talk.
Thank you so much, Dan and the band and Becky and Sophie. I was just reflecting on that little refrain, let heaven come, to some of my friends that I've been thinking of. And as we were singing the refrain, I was just impacted and thinking about what I'm now going to share. And thinking, God, might it be that part of the answer to the prayer I've just prayed, that heaven would come to my friends, is that just as you've come from heaven and met with me and now you live by your Spirit in my heart, that actually as I go to my friends and maybe don't just pray for them but pray with them, that heaven would come to my friends. And I was thinking about one of the things I long for about heaven coming to my friends is actually that Jesus came from heaven to earth so that we could go forever to be with him. And actually that's our longing, isn't it, for so many of our friends who maybe don't know Christ, that they would come to know the one who came from heaven to earth to save them. And so I want to just help us to keep pressing into this being real. And again, just helpfully, just to sort of transition from what we're thinking about, John Stott just says that having expressed our human concern for God's glory, we now express our humble dependence on his grace. Because this next thing about being real about who we are is just recognizing we need help. I don't know about you. In fact, I do know about you. You're like me and like your friends that you've been praying for. We need help. We need so much help. In fact, Jesus is very real, that actually prayer can be, as Pete Gregg said, keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. You know, part of the real thing is, look, God, I need your help. And as we pray for heaven to come to earth, one of the amazing things is that we all need God's help. We need just really basic things. Jesus says in this next bit of the prayer, he says, you know, so pray, give us this day our daily bread. It sounds like you're praying, God, your kingdom come, heaven come to earth, and then you're like praying for bread. Is this not too basic? And sometimes people have taken this and kind of over-spiritualized it, and it can be all kinds of things, but it still can be for bread. You know, give us today our daily bread, our basic needs. We don't survive long without food. And one of the reasons we give thanks for food in our culture and tradition and is because actually, you know, we recognize it's a gift. And though we might think, oh, I got it on my shelf, or I earned it at work, and then I can pay for it. No, actually, it all comes from God. So give us our daily bread. It's an expression of recognizing our needs. And then the next sort of request, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts is forgive us our sins. It's a recognition that we and others do things that are wrong, because it then says, and as we forgive those who sin against us, that in our relationships, in our dealing with one another and with God, we mess up, we fail, we sin. And sometimes when we try and pretend that doesn't happen in our lives or the lives of others, when we're not real with God, we can be in all kinds of mess. In fact, one of the great gifts of prayer is that when we or others have made a mess of things, when we feel there's some broken relationship somewhere, as there often is in life, we don't have to think, well, I better sort all this out, and then I can come to God and say, look, God, I'm right with you, and I'm right with everyone else, it's all sorted. We can actually come to God in prayer, be real, and say, look, God, I'm really sorry, I've hurt you, and this other person has hurt me, and I want to forgive them, and will you forgive me? And we can just be real with God about our issues. And then Jesus says, and pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We can be real that we're in a battle. We've got an enemy, and the enemy is not a gentleman. He's savage in his attacks, and he tries to take us captive, and he kind of brings things that really frighten people. And you might know people who are like living in fear, or big anxieties they have, or addictions that they're struggling to break because there's an enemy and he's got a hold of people. And as we're praying for our friends, these are some of the issues that they face and we face. And we can say as we come to God, Lord, we need your help. You know the guy who was in the video, the three simple things, Pete Gregg, he says this in another interview you can find online. He says this: we often want God to airlift us out of our problems, and he more often wants to parachute in and join us in the midst of them. And I love that as I was thinking about this refrain, let heaven come. Because we think when we're praying, it's all about trying to lasso something up to God. God, woo, would you just pull me out of this? Here we go. Woo. And actually when we pray, we We're praying, hey God, I'm in a mess here. And believe it or not, the God of the universe, our Father, he comes, the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and by his Spirit, he comes into our midst and into our mess and into the mess of our friends. And he says, look here, I've jumped in now. Let me help you. I'm with you. Isn't that wonderful? And so as we go with our friends and we want to talk about praying with them as they share some of the things in their lives, and I tell you what, those are golden moments when someone opens up to you and says, actually, you know what? My relationship's all broken down and I don't know what to do and I'm having panic attacks or I'm addicted to drugs or my parents broke up or, you know, and they start saying, you know, actually, this person's bullying me and I don't know what to do about it. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. I can't help you. And actually, in those moments, those precious moments, it's just knowing that God is there for that person. And it might not mean then that that's the moment to say, let's pray. Sometimes it is. And I'll come to that. But it can be then times when you can come back, maybe at a different point, maybe at a point when it's just you and that friend and say, hey, you know that thing we talked about? Well, do you know what? I don't have the same struggle, but I've got issues too. And I find one of the things that helps me with my struggles is that I can pray. And I've not just been praying, God, would you help me? I've been praying, God, would you help you? And I find when I talk to my friends about the fact that I need God's help, often makes it easier for me to talk to them about the fact that God could help them too. And I find that, particularly thinking about some of my non-Christian friends, and I guess I'd encourage you to not just pray for your Christian friends, but get praying for your non-Christian friends as well. I find that when I do that, and both need our prayers, but when we do that, actually God starts opening doors with our non-Christian friends, those who don't know Christ. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, I tell you, he's the one who can help you above all else. But I find that so often, some of the people I meet and talk to, they actually, do you know what? They know they need help. And actually, often, they're wanting to pray, sometimes even trying to pray, but they don't know how. And I found this clip. I've referred to this clip in conversations with people loads. Sometimes people have seen the film, sometimes they haven't. It's a little clip from a film called Gravity. About space, Sandra Bullock is an astrophysicist, astronaut. She gets kind of lost in space when something hits the spacecraft that she's in. She still manages to kind of vaguely survive. And then a friend of hers is kind of also kind of got lost in space, was trying to help her, and is just now disappearing from sight. And she's vaguely kind of weeping and crying over the fact that she's lost him and still trying to kind of talk to him on a very faint radio signal. And this is a little clip from this film. You may have seen this before. I think I showed it one Sunday morning, but here we go.
Myself, but I've never prayed in my life, so nobody ever taught me how.
A lot of our friends don't know how to verbalize it, but they know they need help, like we know we need help. And they, like Sandra Bullock, often kind of saying, would you say a prayer for me? And they're often thinking, you know what, I'd say a prayer. But nobody taught me how. Because people don't pray a lot in schools. A lot of parents don't know God, don't pray at home with their kids. People sometimes see the old prayer on television, but it's not the same as someone praying with you. That is the best way to learn how to pray, is to see someone praying with you. And so let me ask you, if we are never praying with people who don't know how to pray, how are they going to learn how to pray? And again, one of the most exciting things in life, one of the most exciting things in my life has been daring to say to a friend, hey, can I pray with you? And them not just saying, okay then, but then saying, yes, please. And sometimes I've even said, could we pray together? Could I help you pray? Not just me pray for you, but help you pray. Would you be up for that? And them saying, yes, please. And I've found that just to help people a little bit understand a bit about prayer often helps. So I just want to give you a little illustration that could help you have a kind of conversation like this. I was around visiting someone's house and they were dying of cancer, and one of the colleagues of theirs came from work at the same time I did. And I knew that one of the things I needed to do was pray with this lady who was dying of cancer. I didn't think this colleague was a person who was a Christian and wasn't probably into prayer. Anyway, I just said, would it be okay? I explained that I was a friend from church, so I knew this lady from there. Could I pray for her? And of course the lady said, absolutely. So we prayed for this lady, and she was, you know, she was really moved by the atmosphere of prayer. And so this lady from the workplace, her colleague, I got chatting to her, and I said, that was okay. She said, it wasn't just okay, it was really special. And so I just said, would you like to learn how to pray for your friend who's dying of cancer? She said, yes, please. And I just said, well, prayer is like any relationship, is talking to God. And I don't know about you, but do you ever find in relationships that you kind of get a bit distant from someone? You do something or they do something and it kind of makes the relationship a bit icky, and there's something in between you and the other person and you basically stop talking. That happens in so many relationships, unfortunately. Something icky happens. Someone does something to hurt the other person and you stop talking. And you know what? That's what has happened with all of us with God. And the thing is, God has never done the icky thing, the wrong thing. It's always us. But we then end up stop talking to God. And you know what makes all the difference in those times when there's something's gone wrong in a relationship, is when one of the people moves towards the other out of love and compassion, or just a desire to have the relationship restored. And I said, and God's the one who's moved towards us. He's come in his son Jesus, and he's died on a cross. That's how much he loves us, to deal with the stuff that's in between us and God, me and God, you and God, so that we can actually talk to him. We can be, you know, right with him. That's how much he loves us. And you know, when someone does that in a relationship, they've kind of taken a massive step to move towards us, and they then say, I'd like to talk, I'd like this relation to be restored. Do you know what's a great way to start that conversation? And if you want to have a relationship, you do have to start talking. That's what prayer is. A great way to start is just by simply saying, sorry for the thing that was a mess, and thank you for moving towards me, and please, could we get this right? And she was like, ah, that makes loads of sense. Yeah, that's what it feels like between me and God. And then I said, well, would you like me to write you out a prayer that you could pray for yourself and for Ruby? And she was like, oh, yeah, please. So we just literally got a bit of paper and a pen, and I wrote out something like this. I just wrote out on the bit of paper, I just said, well, look, here's the sorry bit. Sorry, God, for where I've ignored you and gone my own way and been not speaking to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross so that I could be forgiven and made right with you. Would you please come into my life by your Holy Spirit and help me and follow you and live for you? And I actually just wrote it out on a bit of paper for her. And I said, would you like this? Oh, yeah, please. I mean, that's like a really wonderful handwritten card. And my handwriting is rubbish, so it didn't even look nice. But it's a kind of like, this is handwritten. And I said, well, would you like to even pray that now? And she was like, oh, please. And so I said, well, we could pray it together. I'll pray it and you could pray it after me. And she said, that would be so good. And we just, there, with this friend who was dying of cancer and this friend from work, we just prayed, the three of us, this prayer that I'd written out. And I left so excited. The friend who was dying of cancer was a beam on her face, a friend. And then this other lady, she was like, this has been amazing. And then actually, when the lady died a few weeks back, really sad. I thought, I wonder how this lady's going to be, because she probably was praying that a friend wouldn't die. She was at the funeral. She bounded up to me after the service, saying, it's been so special. Thank you. And just so obviously God was at work in her life. And, you know, I want to encourage you to do just that, to have the courage to pray, not just for your friends, but with your friends, by being real, that you've got issues that you need God's help on, and that they do as well. And I would love to give you an opportunity to practice it now. Sometimes I make friends with people who I don't really know that well by just talking to them. And you might not know the person around you, but I'm going to encourage you to dare to have a conversation with them, and then to say, as you have a conversation with them, I'm going to dare you to do this, to say, it sounds like maybe you could do with some help. I'm just going to invite you to ask the person with, have they got any challenges? Do they need any provision? Are there any relationships where they could do with some forgiveness? Or is there any kind of area where they just feel the enemy's attack and they're just like God's kind of deliverance or rescue? And they might say all three. Or they might just say, do you know what, it's particularly this. You don't have to go into details, but you might do if you know the person sitting next to you. And then what I'd love you to do is I'd love you to take the bit of paper and say, well, it sounds like maybe you'd just like me to, you know, you could do with help. Can I just write out a prayer for you that you could then take away with you? And you're going to write out something for the person. You can pray in twos or threes, talk in twos and threes first. And you're going to write out a little prayer. And I'd recommend something like this. Here we go. This is a little template. Yours can be shorter because there's only a little bit of paper. Okay? Here we go. So it's up on the board. We got it there, Noah? Yeah, here we go. Something like, start with God. Remember, be real about who God is. So you could just say, dear God, you could use our Father in heaven, or you're great and good, or just say, could just go, dear God. And then just say, I need your help, and my friend needs your help. Because just be real, you know? And then you could just use one of these lines. Please provide for our needs. Because we got needs, they've got needs. But that might not be their issue. They might need the forgiveness bit. You could just say, please forgive us and help us forgive others. And in any of these, you might want to add a little specific if the conversation has led into that. Or you could just say, please deliver us from evil, or, you know, from this fear or this addiction. And you might just want to just write that. And then just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your power, for your death and resurrection. Or you could just say, thank you for Jesus. Amen. So it can be really short, but then you can just give it to the person, and it can be, doesn't have to be exactly like that, but that just shows how simple it is. And if you're freaked out by this, you can copy that, okay? And if you think, well, I don't know that that's going to still be up there at the point when I'm talking, you can copy the Lord's Prayer out. That is okay to use as well. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the band up. I'm going to encourage you to get into twos or threes. So you're going to have to move, I'm afraid, a little bit at the back. You guys, the PA, can do that. If you don't have a pen and paper under your desk, would you just grab it? And say, if you just raise a hand if you don't have a pen and paper, and some of my wonderful helpers are going to bring around some extra pens and papers. Here we go. Anyone not got a pen and paper? Sophie, would you be able to just take them around? Just raise a hand if you don't have a pen or paper. And if possible, try and find a two or three. What I'm going to encourage you to do while the band are playing is start by talking. Just one of you go first. I encourage you, just go first and just say, have you got any challenges that you might need God's help on, as your opening question to the other person? And then just listen to the other person. They might talk for 30 seconds. and say, actually, yeah, I could do with some wisdom. Or, do you know what, actually, I could do with £1,000 for this thing I really need. Or they might just say, actually, do you know what, there's this whole big thing. Just listen. And then after you've just listened to their answer, why not just then say, could I write out a prayer for you so that we can ask God for his help? Because I find he helps it. And then just start writing. Just say, could I write something maybe like this? And show them as you're doing it. Just maybe something like, dear God, we need your help. Could you provide? Amen. And then, would you just show, is that the kind of thing that would be useful? And would you be kind to the person who wrote out the prayer and just go, thank you, that would be great. And then if you feel comfortable, you could either pray it for them or you might want to say, shall we pray it together? And it's written out there in front of you and you could just together, either both at the same time, just be really clear, or just one after another. You could say, do you want to repeat it after me? And then just read it out together. And then, swoop around. And the other person could say, hey, is there anything you need help with? And you can then go, actually, it's all this. Blah, blah, blah. And then you say, well, can I write out a prayer for you? See what we're going to do? And you might do it in 2 minutes, and then you can join the band, and you might be talking for the rest of the evening, and we've got time. So either's fine. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, help us in this moment. Hear these prayers. But Lord, also help this be something that we grow in confidence to do with others, I pray. Lord, we want to be real about who you are, but we also want to be real about who we are. We need help and our friends need help. Everyone in this room needs help in some way. So Lord, come Holy Spirit in this time now, I pray. Amen.